history of crime detection has produced no more famous name than that of Sexton Blake. We present William Franklin as Sexton Blake, with David Gregory as his assistant Tinker, and Heather Chasen as his secretary Paula Dane, in a series of case histories by Donald Stewart. Today's episode is called The Fifth Dimension.
Sit down, Mrs. Monkton. Oh. You'll find that chair very comfortable.
Thank you. Unless you want me, Mr. Blake, I'll get back to my work.
All right, Paula. Now, Mrs. Monkton, my secretary has told me very briefly what you told her. I want you to repeat it, including every detail you can think of.
Do you want me to begin with what happened the night before last?
No, please begin at the beginning. 3 months ago, your husband won a substantial amount on the pools, didn't he?
£84,000.
Up to the time he won this large sum, everything was quite normal.
Oh, yes.
We'll start from there, then.
Well, we decided we'd buy a bungalow. I gave up my job and Harry gave up his.
What was his job?
He was a mechanic with BCP, the car manufacturer.
Go on, Mrs. Monkton.
Well, everything was wonderful. We could scarcely believe our luck. And then that little packet came for Harry.
He opened it in front of you?
Yes. He was wondering what it was and who could have sent it. When I saw what was in it, I laughed. But Harry went as white as a sheet.
What exactly was in the packet?
Well, just a tie-pin. A cheap thing, like you might get out of a Christmas cracker, you know. And the head of it was shaped like a gollywog. You know what I mean?
Yes. Anything else?
Well, there was a slip of paper with the words, "A present from the Scarf Pin Club," on it. They was printed in ink.
That was all?
Yes. It was enough to change Harry from what he'd been. He wasn't the same man after that thing came. It was moody and worried, didn't take an interest in anything. It was as if all the life had been scared out of him.
He was frightened.
Oh, yes, I'm sure of it. Got to sleeping badly. He'd lie awake, staring up into the darkness. Several times he'd get up and wander about the house in his dressing gown. He said he was making sure that all the doors and windows was locked and fastened.
Didn't you ask him what was worrying him?
Well, I tried. I tried hard to get him to tell me, but he wouldn't. So did Mr. Morris.
Mr. Morris?
Yes. He's Harry's pal. He found us the bungalow and he lives close by. He couldn't get any more out of Harry than what I could. And he flew into a rage and swore there was nothing the matter. He just felt a bit out of sorts.
Nothing actually happened between the receipt of this type-in and what occurred the night before last?
Well, nothing that I know about. I wasn't there all the time, you see. I mean, I used to go out for an hour or so just to get a bit of a change sometimes.
Didn't your husband go out at all?
Well, sometimes he'd come with me, but not very often. He worked quite a bit in the garden. He's fond of gardening. Well, the night before last, you know, the night it happened. Well, I'd persuaded him to come to the pictures.
Yes.
We'd had a late tea. Mr. Morris popped in for a minute. He didn't stay in. We left the house about 7:10. We was about halfway down that path to the gate when the telephone began to ring. Harry went back to answer it. I haven't seen him since. He just walked into that bungalow, Mr. Blake, and vanished.
Let me get this quite clear, Mrs. Monkton. Your husband went back to answer the telephone. He let himself in with his latchkey?
Yes, but he never answered that phone. It was still ringing when I went to look for him.
You answered it, did you?
Yes. Oh, yes, it was a wrong number.
What did you do then?
Well, I called Harry, but there was no reply. I searched the bungalow, but he wasn't there. There was nobody there. It was empty.
Could he have left by the back way?
The back door was locked and bolted on the inside, and so was the windows. And as well as that, Mr. Morris was in his garden. He can see the back of our bungalow plainly. He says that nobody left that way.
Mm-hmm. Did your husband put the light on when he went back to answer the phone?
Oh, yes. Oh, he wasn't there, Mr. Blake, honest. I don't know what happened to him, but he wasn't there.
Yes, I see. What made you go back to the bungalow instead of waiting for him?
I wondered why I hadn't answered that phone. It kept on ringing. I couldn't understand why he hadn't answered it, so... Well, I went to see what he was doing.
Leaving the front door open?
Oh, well, no. I shut it before I answered the phone. Oh, Harry couldn't have gone that way without me seeing him. What should I do, Mr. Blake? Ought I to go to the police?
You may have to eventually, but I don't think I should yet. I'd like to have a look at this bungalow of yours. You going back this afternoon?
Well, yes, I was.
Good, I'll come with you. Tinker, my assistant, can drive us there.
Oh, I'm sure it's very good of you, Mr. Blake, to take so much.
No, nonsense. I'm interested.
It's just along there. On the right.
Okay, Mrs. Buncton.
There's somebody at the gate.
Oh, it isn't... Oh, it's Mr. Morris.
Hello, Mrs. Buncton. I was just calling to see if you'd any news of Harry.
No, nothing at all, Mr. Morris. I wish I had.
Oh, I can't understand it at all. What could have happened to him?
Well, that's what we've come to try and find out, Mr. Morris.
Oh, this is Mr. Sexton Blake. He's been very kind.
Shall we go up to the house, Mrs. Monkton?
Oh, yes, yes, of course.
Will you come too, Mr. Morris?
Oh, yes, certainly.
Oh, just a minute while I find my key.
There's a key in the lock, Governor.
Oh, it must be Harry's. He's come back.
Open the door, Tinker.
Harry? Are you there, Harry?
Mrs. Monkton!
Harry!
If he was here, he'd have answered her.
You stay here, Morris. Come on, Tinker.
He's in there. He's in there. I opened the door, Mr. Blake, and I saw him lying there. Oh, Harry. He's dead.
Governor, look. What's that? Pinned to his coat.
It's a message. It says... A present from the Scarf Pin Club. Good evening, Inspector Vincent.
Evening, Mr. Blake.
Any news?
Well, according to the doctor, the cause of death was poison.
I thought so. What was it?
Well, none of the usual poisons, apparently, Mr. Blake. And the doctor wouldn't commit himself until after the autopsy.
Very wise, Inspector. I could hazard a guess, but I'll wait for the official report. You've seen Mrs. Monkton?
I have, sir. I don't mind admitting that I can't make head nor tail of this business at present.
That makes two of a kind, Inspector.
Well, this Scarf Pin Club, do you think it's a real club? I mean, membership and all that?
Well, if it is, it shouldn't be difficult to trace, but I've a feeling it doesn't exist.
Oh, some sort of private organization, do you mean, sir?
Not exactly, Inspector.
I got through to Paula, Governor.
Good. Where's Mrs. Monkton?
Well, lying down. The doctor gave her a sedative. What happened to Monkton when he went back to answer the phone?
And didn't answer it.
I suppose he could have slipped out through the front door while his wife wasn't looking, sir.
She says he didn't. Morris is equally emphatic that he didn't leave by the back door, which anyway was bolted on the inside.
Well, he must have gone somewhere, unless he vanished into the fourth dimension.
Or perhaps it was the fifth dimension.
I've never heard of that, sir.
I'm quite sure you have, Inspector.
What is the fifth dimension? Something new?
No, it's as old as the hills.
Oh, excuse me, sir. I'll get it. All right, Sergeant, I'll go. Yes? Oh, well, just a minute. Well, no, there's no answer. Well, this telegram's just come from Mrs. Monkton, sir. It was sent from Charing Cross Post Office at 2:23. Now, listen. See that you are never alone in the house. The telephone could ring again. Love, Harry.
When that telegram was sent, according to the doctor, Harry Monkton had been dead for over 14 hours.
It doesn't make sense.
I should heed the advice all the same, Inspector.
Oh, you think Mrs. Monkton may be in danger?
Yes, Inspector, I certainly do. Now, I think I'll be getting back to the office. There's nothing I can do here for the moment.
As far as I can ascertain, Mr. Blake, there's no such place as the Scarf Pin Club. It's not on the registered list. I've tried most of our contacts, and they've never heard of it. Detective Inspector Coots is having inquiries made as well.
Thank you, Paula. Have you started the check-up on Harry Monkton?
I put Nichols on that. I thought he was the best person to handle it.
Fine, Paula. And Morris?
Well, Didcot's covering him. I told them both it was urgent.
Good.
No luck, Governor. They can't remember who handed that telegram in.
Well, it was worth trying anyway, Tinker.
Have you any idea what's behind all this?
Nothing really definite.
Perhaps when we get the report from Nichols, it'll help. Is Alice being looked after?
Yes, Inspector Vincent's attending to that. How long was she employed as a waitress, do you know?
I'm not sure exactly. Over 2 years, I think.
How long has she been married to Monkton?
I don't know. I know very little about her, actually. She was a good waitress, efficient and cheerful. Is there anything else you want me to do?
Is that restaurant open in the evening?
Yes, they do quite a good dinner.
Go and have a meal there. Charge it up to the firm.
And find out all I can about Alice Monkton.
Yes, that's it.
I'll work my way through the entire menu.
Governor, what did you mean by the fifth dimension?
Work it out for yourself. It'll be a good exercise. I want to go through this report on the Horsham business for Crail.
Shall I see who that is?
Well, Paula won't have gone yet. Unless it's important, I don't want to be disturbed.
I'll tell her.
Well, hello, Inspector.
Hello.
It's Chief Inspector Coots.
Had to come round this way, thought I'd drop in. Got news for you.
Oh, sit down and have a drink.
Can't stop long. Won't say no to a quick one, though.
Give Coots a scotch, Tinker. A large one.
Paula told me about this Moncton business. Queer setup.
Very.
Had to go to CRO. Thought I'd check up on Moncton. Thanks, Tinker. Ah, that's better. Only an idea.
Paid off, did it?
Don't know. Brought these photographs. That your Moncton?
Younger, but the same chap.
They were taken 7 years ago. Convicted for manslaughter. Got 3 years. Any help?
It could be. Tell me all about it.
Read it for yourself. Here's the file. Let me have it back when you've done with it. Must be off now. Thanks for the drink. See myself out.
He doesn't waste much time, does he?
Moncton ran down a woman on his motorcycle. He was speeding in a built-up area. The woman subsequently died. Jury brought in a verdict of manslaughter. Moncton was sentenced to 3 years.
A bit stiff, wasn't it?
Apparently, there was some doubt as to whether it wasn't intentional.
You mean murder, Governor?
Yes. Phyllis Grange, the girl who died, had been engaged to Moncton. She'd broken off the engagement to marry a man named Charles Denham. Moncton was furious, threatened to get even with both of them. He was lucky to escape a murder charge.
Well, how long ago was this?
Just under 7 years. Before remission, he'd have served 2 years and 3 months.
It can't have anything to do with his present business, surely. Well, that's too far-fetched, I suppose, that... Denham has been nursing a grudge against Moncton all these years. Why wait so long?
One explanation is he didn't know where to find Moncton. Until he won that money on the pools and his name and address were published in the newspapers.
Are you being serious? I mean, you can't believe
it. I don't. But I do think...
I'll take it, Governor. The Sexton Blake's residence? Oh, hold on, will you? It's Inspector Vincent.
Thanks. Hello, Inspector. Yes. What was the result? I see. How's Mrs. Moncton? Don't leave her alone. I think it's very important. Yes. Well, thanks for letting me know, Inspector. That was the result of the autopsy on Moncton.
What was the poison?
A preparation of yew berries.
What? Ordinary yew berries? The things that grow in gardens and churchyards?
That's right. Quite an appropriate place, a churchyard.
But anybody can get hold of them. I mean, there's no need to sign a poison book.
Exactly. No trace, no trace at all. You know, in spite of your skepticism, I'd very much like to know the present whereabouts of Charles Denham.
Mr. Sexton Blake's residence. Good morning. No, I'm afraid Mr. Blake is out.
Who is it, Paula?
Inspector Vincent.
Oh, I'll speak to him. Hello, Inspector. Oh, this is Edward Carter, Mr. Blake's assistant. Oh, yes. You have. Oh, what kind of van? I see. Around about 11:30. Did this woman actually see the man carry it in? Yeah, I'll tell the Governor. He'll probably get in touch with you. Yes. Yes, do that, Inspector. Thanks for ringing up. Inspector Vincent's found a woman who saw a van outside the Moncton's bungalow yesterday morning near 11:30. The driver carried in a large basket. She thought it was the laundry. Now, that's how they must have got the body in there.
Did she notice what name was on the van?
Well, there wasn't one on it.
Was the woman a neighbour?
Well, there aren't any. Well, not close, except Mr. Morris. The bungalows are all sort of scattered about. I mean, most of them are still being built. This woman was only passing. What's that you're taking?
Something to counteract the effects of last night.
You didn't really go to the whole menu, did you?
Not quite, but very nearly. I'm conscientious, I am.
Well, you'd better drink that stuff while it's still fizzing.
It tickles my nose.
Hello, caught a cold, Paula?
Well, she's got a hangover.
I have not got a hangover. I'm suffering from overeating in the interests of the firm.
Oh, yes. How did you get on?
Not terribly well, I'm afraid. Alice used to chatter quite a lot to the other girls when she was working there, but she didn't say much about herself. No intimate details. She was already married to Harry Moncton when she got the job at the restaurant.
How long ago was that?
2 years and 4 months. They don't think she'd been married very long, then.
Do you have a family alive? Father? Mother?
I think that would be difficult to find out. You see, she was abandoned when she was 6 weeks old and brought up in an institution.
How did you find that out if she never talked about herself?
The manager told me. He needed her birth certificate.
And she told him?
Yes. She begged him not to let the other girls know. She was very sensitive about it. I got the address she was living at before they bought the bungalow. And here it is. The landlady's name is Boiler. Mrs. Boiler.
Not a very salubrious part of Camden Town. You might go and see Mrs. Boiler, Tinker. We might pick up some information about the Monktons.
I'll go right away, Governor. Oh, Inspector Vincent rang up. Paul has got the whole conversation recorded. He's found how Monkton's body was brought into the bungalow.
Oh, has he?
There's something else I learned last night. A few weeks after Alice left her job at the restaurant, a man was making inquiries about her.
What sort of inquiries?
He wanted to know if her husband's name was Harry and where they were living.
Did they say what he was like?
He left his name. Charles Denham.
Did he indeed? Well, off you go, Tinker. See what you can make of Mrs. Boiler.
That was as nice a couple as you could wish to have in the house, sir. Never no trouble and always punctual with the rent.
How long were they with you, Mrs. Boiler?
Over 2 years. They come just after they was married. And it weren't till he won all that money on the pools that they left. Bit of luck that was for him, and well deserved. He gave me a nice present, he did, before they left. Mrs. Boiler says, I won't never forget all your kindness, he says. It's been a real home here, he said. And we wouldn't be leaving now, he said, only we've always wanted a place of our own, he said.
I'm sure you made them very comfortable. Tell me, did they have many friends come and see them?
Oh, there wasn't even much. She used to go to the pictures and a lot of dancing. Very fond of dancing, she was.
Dancing?
Once a week regular to that place, Arthur Strand.
Oh, I know what you mean. They might have met quite a few friends there.
Maybe. None of them ever come here except Mr. Morris. He works at the same place as what Mr. Monkton. Did he come twice? Here, you're a bit nosy. You ain't a reporter, are you? I had enough of them when Mr. Monkton won the pools. Like flies around a gem pot, they was.
No, I'm not a reporter, Mrs. Boiler.
You ain't the police, are you?
Why do you think the police would be inquiring about Mr. and Mrs. Monkton?
Because they're always sticking their perishing noses into people's business. Yeah, I ain't answering no more questions. Go and ask Mr. Monkton himself.
Haven't you seen the morning papers?
Oh, I've got no time to read the papers, only the Sunday ones.
Then you don't know that Mr. Monkton is dead?
Lord! Oh, how did it happen? An accident?
No, it was murder.
Oh, you don't mean it. You want to do that?
We're trying to find out.
Oh, dear. Oh, I wish I could help her. Poor Mrs. Monkton. Oh, I bet she's taking it bad. Such a happy couple they was. Here, I just remember something. A chap come here after they left. He wanted to know where they'd gone.
What was he like? Would you recognise him again if you saw him?
No, I don't know as I would. Hold on, though. There is one thing. He's typing.
Typing?
Yes, you don't often see them nowadays, do you? That's why it caught me eye. Funny thing it was. Like one of them gollywogs.
We're adding to the collection by degrees, aren't we, Tinker?
Not enough to get us anywhere.
I wouldn't say that. There seems to be a sort of pattern emerging. Rather indistinct, perhaps, but...
I can't understand this man Charles Denham turning up after all that lapse of time.
That's absurd.
Is he the same man who was making inquiries at Mrs. Boiler's?
And then the man who carried the basket into the bungalow. Three separate men? Or just one?
And now, the man with the van intrigues me.
More than the man with the type-in, or Charles Denham?
Oh, yes, a great deal more. See who that is, Paula. Use your discretion. I don't want to be disturbed.
Hello, can't they wait?
Mr. Blake. Oh, Mr. Blake, I'm so frightened. I came as soon as I got it. Look, it's the same, exactly the same.
The gollywog type,
yes. Yes, like Harry got. Had the same message with it. A present from the Scarpin Club. Oh, what can I do, Mr. Blake? What can I do?
You can sit down, Mrs. Monkton, and relax. Oh. Paula, get Mrs. Monkton a cup of tea. There now.
Oh, dear.
Don't worry. Take it easy and tell me exactly what happened.
Well, it was in a little packet. Like the one that came for Harry.
By post?
Yes, midday post. Oh, Mr. Blake. Something is going to happen to me. I know it will, just like it did to Harry.
Nothing is going to happen to you, Mrs. Monkton. Now, don't let this upset you. Have you told Inspector Vincent?
Oh, no, I haven't told anybody. I came straight to you.
You're not alone in the bungalow, are you?
No, there's a policeman. He's there all the time.
Good. Tinker, go and ring up Inspector Vincent. Tell him what's happened.
Okay, Governor.
Tell him we're bringing Mrs. Monkton back.
Oh, but I don't want to go back there. I won't go back.
No, Mrs. Monkton.
No, I won't
Monkton.
Go back, I tell you. I won't. I never want to see that bungalow again.
If you want me to help you, you must do what I tell you. Go on, Tinker.
I'll see who it is, Mr. Blake.
It's all right, Paula. Tinker's out there. Take Mrs. Monkton into the dining room.
This way, Alice.
Governor, there's a man in the outer office. He wants to see you.
What sort of man?
Tall, thin, rather sunburned, well-dressed.
Who is it?
He says his name's Charles Denham.
Oh,
Good evening, Inspector Vincent.
Good evening, Mr. Morris. Thank you for coming round. You just got back from work, I suppose.
Yes.
So you wouldn't know about Mrs. Monkton.
Mrs. Monkton? What about her?
Oh, she's received a present from the Scarf Pin Club.
She has?
Upset her quite a lot.
I should think it did. After what happened to Harry.
How well did you know Harry Monkton, Mr. Morris?
Oh, pretty well. We both worked at the same place.
Did you know he'd been to prison for manslaughter?
Manslaughter? He never told me. When was this?
About 7 years ago.
Well, I haven't known him as long as that.
Well, how long have you known him?
Oh, well, when he got a job with the firm. That'd be 8 or 9 months before he got married.
Did he ever mention a man named Denham, Charles Denham?
No. No, I don't think so. And what's this manslaughter business? What did he do?
Well, that'll be Mr. Blake and Mrs. Monkton. Excuse me.
Hello, Inspector. I'm afraid we're later than I expected. I had one or two jobs to attend to.
No worry, as far as I'm concerned, sir. I've got Mr. Morris in the sitting room.
What's he doing here?
Oh, well, he came to see how you were, Mrs. Monkton.
Well, let's go in, then, shall we? Shut the door, Tinker.
Good evening, Mr. Morris. Lucky you chanced to call. I wanted to see you.
Yes, well, I've only just got back from work, and I'm a bit tired.
You'll have to forgive me for keeping you a little longer. When do you make the time, Tinker?
7:03, Governor.
It was 7:10 when you and your husband were halfway down the front path and the telephone rang, wasn't it, Mrs. Monkton?
Yes.
And gives us nearly 7 minutes.
For what? What do you mean?
To prepare for the reception of our visitor.
Visitor?
Oh. Yes, Tinker, will you go into the kitchen and guard the back door?
Righto, Governor.
I'd like you to keep an eye on the front, Inspector.
All right, Mr. Blake.
Shut this door after you and put the light out in the hall.
Oh, I'm frightened. I wish I'd never come back here.
No, I don't see how anything can hurt you, Mrs. Monkton.
I have to tell you something about the late Harry Monkton that I'm sure you don't know.
Oh, about Harry?
Yes. When Harry Monkton married you, he already had a wife. She is still alive.
What?
Oh, it isn't true. It can't be true.
Unfortunately, I have proof.
I don't believe it. There must be a mistake.
Well, of course there is. Who is this woman? Where is she? She wouldn't have kept quiet all this time. It is ridiculous. Oh, no.
Stay in this room. And you stay with her, Morris. Sexton Blake speaking. Oh, it's you, Paula. I think so. Yes, very soon now, I hope. Oh, we're just waiting. Good, that's fine. Goodbye for now.
Everything all right, Mr. Blake?
Up to now, Inspector, yes.
What time are they coming?
Any minute. You know what to do?
Yes.
Good. I must go round to the kitchen and see Tinker.
Right.
Who's that?
It's me. How's it going?
Couldn't be better, Governor.
Well, that's a relief. You're quite sure?
You don't have to worry at all.
Good. I'll go back to the sitting room then. I'm sorry to have been so long. The telephone call was from my secretary, Miss Dane.
Well, I was afraid. I thought... Well, never mind. Mr. Blake, if Harry was already married when he met me, it means that I was never really his wife, doesn't it?
I'm afraid so.
Harry would never do a dirty trick like that. He wasn't that sort of chap.
Do we ever really know what a person's like, Mr. Morris? You didn't know that Monkton had been convicted of manslaughter for causing the death of a girl, did you?
Caused the death of a... Harry... Don't believe that. Who was she?
Her name was Phyllis Grange.
And the charge should have been murder, not manslaughter.
Come in, Mr. Denham. We've been expecting you.
You should have been here before. Got held up in the traffic jam.
Never mind, Coots. You're here. That's the main thing. Will you come in, Inspector Vincent?
I'm here, sir.
Good. We've come to the moment when we can explain how it all happened. It's very simple, really. So simple that we couldn't see it.
I don't see how you make that out.
I admit that it looked complicated at first, but if we reduce the problem to its essentials, we find that it resolves itself to this. A man has been killed. Why?
Oh, well, surely, sir, it's not quite as easy as that.
No, but it is, Inspector. You're allowing yourself to be blinded by the setting. These presents from the Scarf Pin Club, the vanishing of Harry Monkton, the telegram from the dead man, all examples of the fifth dimension.
Never heard of it.
There are three common dimensions, length, breadth, and thickness. The fourth dimension is usually associated with time. What I call the fifth dimension is imagination.
Don't understand.
I think you do, Mrs. Monkton. I used it when I told you that Harry Monkton had a wife living when he married you.
That wasn't true?
There was no more truth in it than the story you told me. The story you concocted to disguise a simple murder by making it a fantastic one.
I didn't. It was true, all of it. It happened just as I said.
You invented the whole thing. You and your boyfriend, Morris.
That's a lie.
You fell for Morris hook, line, and sinker. In the normal course of events, you'd probably have allowed your husband to divorce you. But he won £84,000 on the pools, and you weren't going to let that slip through your fingers.
Oh, it isn't true. Not a word of it. You're making it all up. Would I have come to you if
well,
it...
That was quite a clever touch. It almost fooled me. So was the telegram which Morris sent, purporting to come from your husband.
I never sent any telegram.
The whole thing was planned to divert attention from the simple truth. Like the misdirection used by a conjurer. Morris's calls at the restaurant and Mrs. Boiler's. All for the purpose of confusing the real issue.
It's all lies. Lies from beginning to end. Mrs. Boiler knew me.
It wasn't difficult to alter your appearance, and the gollywog tie pin was a very neat touch. It linked up with the rest of the fantasy. But you slipped up over Mr. Denham.
Yes. You made a mistake when you gave my name at the restaurant. I wasn't even in England at the time. I've spent the last 9 months in Ghana. You may notice I'm still a bit sunburnt.
How could I give your name when I'd never even heard of you?
Oh, but you had. Mrs. Monkton knew all about the manslaughter charge, and she told you. Harry Monkton never left this house the night he was supposed to have vanished into thin air. You made some excuse to keep him confined to the house. Perhaps you gave him something that made him feel ill, until you were ready to poison him with the yew berries. Then, when he was dead, you arranged the body, put that fake message on it, and came up to see me.
Oh, no. No, no, you're wrong. It's not true.
Well, what about the van and the basket, Blake?
That was another little touch of Morris's. There was nothing in the basket, of course. We were supposed to think it was Monkton's body, but could one man carry a heavy body in a basket so easily?
Hey, I've listened to this nonsense long enough. You can't prove any of it.
Just a moment. Tinker!
Coming, Governor.
Now, Tinker, play that recording on the portable tape recorder.
What's this, Blake?
You'll hear. Go ahead, Tinker.
Oh, no!
Stay in this room. And you stay with her, Morris.
He can't have been already married when he married me.
Well, if it's true, you know what it means, don't you?
I don't get anything. No money, not even this bungalow. It'll all go to his real wife.
We've taken all the trouble and risk for nothing. Nothing! Damn it!
Shh, darling. It's so loud. Oh, there must be something we can do.
Well, I don't know what.
Look out, Tinker!
Come here! Come here!
Well, I can leave it to you now, Inspector. Come on, Tinker.
How'd you get that recording?
Inspector Vincent bugged the room before we came. I asked him to on the phone. All I had to do was drop a little bomb in the middle of their scheme and make sure they were left alone to discuss it. Simple, really.
Always got a card up your sleeve, Blake. Coming with me, Mr. Denham?
Yes. I'm glad to have been of some help.
Good of you to come round and see me when Coots found you, Mr. Denham. It's made things clearer. Well, I must go. I promised my secretary I'd give her a dinner.
Dinner? Paula hasn't recovered from that meal she had last night.
That's the time to take her out, Tinker. And she won't eat so much.
Story in our Sexton Blake series was called The Fifth Dimension and was written by Donald Stewart. William Franklin was Sexton Blake, David Gregory Tinker, and Heather Chasen Paula. Alice Monkton was played by Gudrun Ewer, Jack Morris by Hayden Jones, Inspector Vincent Harold Caskett, Detective Chief Inspector Coots Humphrey Morton, Mrs. Boiler Betty Hardy, and Charles Denham Ian Thompson. The series was devised for radio by Philip Ridgway and produced by Alistair Scott Johnston.